While I toiled, I imagined the entire scenario. The meals and wines we would share, the mood music we would listen to, the competitive but flirtatious Tajara contests in which we would engage, my Kintan Strider besetting her Mantellian Savrip. The day finally arrived when Sari sprang the surprise inspection tour. We had just given the second of three performances on Delphon, where the planet's more primitive cultures had a legend of ancient asteroid bombardment and a starship that had left carrying genome samples of all the native flora and fauna. The primitives weren't fooled by our attempts to make use of the legend, nor were they meant to be, but they played along just the same. As a result, we performed one of our most successful shows, in which Sari was a standout as ever. Her tour of the Falcon began with the boarding ramp, which she went down on one knee to inspect. Once inside the ship, she went directly into the cockpit, where she ran the white-gloved hand along the instrument panel, the steering yoke, and several of the control levers and toggle switches. She sat in the co-pilot's chair and swiveled through a full circle. Then she returned to the main body of the ship and made two circuits through the ring corridor before entering any of the secondary cabin spaces and holds. Peeking into dark recesses, on the lookout for dust or cobwebs, smiling when she was impressed, or at least satisfied by the efforts I'd made. Once she had returned to the main hold, I swept aside the tarpaulin under which the Dejarik hologame table was concealed, and knew by her bright-eyed gaze that I had passed the test. In the end, all she said was, "Yes." We struck camp on Delphon, collapsing the tents and cleaning up after ourselves. The handlers and beastmasters herded the animals into the Heor Chal lander, and the crew went to their ship, the performers to theirs, and Sari and I boarded the Millennium Falcon. I had the freighter's navicomputer plot the most straightforward course to Delphon 7, because I planned to task the autopilot with most of the flying. In those days, in the years before the Rebel Alliance began building hidden bases on worlds in Greater Javan, the only risk posed by sublight travel was pirates. But from everything I had heard, Imperial forces had the pirates on the run. What's more, pirates were not known to attack circuses. While Sari showered and rid herself of makeup and glitter, I set the table in the main hold, opened the wine to let it breathe, got the meal warming, lighted the candles I'd strewn about, and started the music running through the intercom. When she emerged from the ring corridor into the main hold, she had changed into something more comfortable, and the sight of her changed me forever. We sat across from each other at the table, and I filled our glasses with wine. "To an eventful journey," I said, raising my glass. Smiling, she raised hers. The glasses were millimeters from clinking when the voice of the lander captain howled from the annunciators in the engineering station. "Pirates!" I leapt up, flinging wine in every direction, and rushed to don the comm headset. "Are you certain?" I asked.
"They're flying the Blazing Claw," the captain told me.
"Do they know we're a circus?" I said.
"They do, and they don't care," he shot back.
"Have you come for help?" I asked, fully expecting the answer I received.
"They're jamming us," the captain said.
Sari and I hurried into the cockpit and strapped into the chairs in time to see warning bolts whiz across the bows of the big double-wing lander and the passenger ship. The fire had come from a light cruiser that was every bit as old as the Heor Chal C9979, emblazoned with the pirate emblem of the Blazing Claw, and escorted by a dozen modified fighter craft. "Who are they?" I asked the captain.
"Black Hole," was his answer.
I swore under my breath.
Perhaps the least creative in terms of naming themselves. Black Hole was one of the most feared bands along the spaceways, that side of the core. "Had they issued any demands?" I asked. He said, "Only that they want us to put down on Rigosh."
The primary moon of Delphon 4, Rigosh was a low-G orb lacking population centers and as heavily forested as my homeworld. There was oxygen enough for the humans and humanoids among us, but I suspected that some of the sideshow performers would be forced to wear breathers, assuming the pirates weren't planning to kill us outright. I considered bringing the Falcon's turbolaser to bear on the cruiser, but rejected the idea almost immediately. As dexterous as the ship was, I wasn't talented enough to engage simultaneously in combat and evasive flying.
Sari seemed to have read my thoughts in any case.
"Let's wait and see what they want," she said.
"They could be slavers," I posited. She nodded.
Then we'll just have to deal with it.
Changing course, I followed the lander and the other ships into Rigosh's thin atmosphere. The black hole vessels led us to a large clearing in the northern hemisphere, where a group of their cohorts was waiting, some armed with repeating blasters. A miscellany of some of the most cutthroat species the Outer Rim had to offer. The pirates didn't look the type that could be reasoned with. I doubted that even my finest pratfalls would elicit so much as a grin. When all of Molpol's ships had set down, the leader of the pirate band, speaking butchered basic, ordered the crew of the C-9979 to deboard. The rest of us were to remain aboard our separate ships. Black Hole's intentions were suddenly clear, and were at once a relief and a worst-case scenario. They were hijacking the lander. For 3 standard hours we watched as the animals were herded from the big ship and left to mill about in the clearing, as well-behaved as they would have been prior to our performance.